Last week we saw Yoni Rosh Hashanah, Al Seder, Tur Shulchan Aruch. So we started with the Tavkuf Pei Aleph, which focuses on Elul, headed into the week of Slichas. We spoke a little about the significance of Slichas. Spoke a little bit last time about the mechanics of Slichas, what's most significant, why Yud Gimel Midas Harachem, Hashem Hashem Karachem Hachanan, why that's so particularly apropos now. We spoke last time also about L'dav Hashem Ori V'Yishi. Then, Aruch Hayim in general, this section of Shulchan Aruch, and Hilchos Rosh Hashanah in particular, is arranged chronologically. So that's why it starts with Elul and Slichos, they're happy even before Rosh Hashanah, and then it moves into Siman Tav Kuf Pei Beis. The second Siman is about the essentially the halachas of Ma'ariv of Rosh Hashanah. The halachas of Ma'ariv Rosh Hashanah are largely HaMelech HaKadosh and the other additions, the other changes to the the changes to the Shemone Esrei, so that we know HaMelech HaKadosh, that's Medina de Gemara, and that's Ma'akev. If you, Malchus, every bracha, the Gemara explains elsewhere, the Chazal created, crafted a particular formula for each bracha, the Matbeah, Shetavu Chacham Mebrachas, the particular formula Chazal for each bracha, and L'chadchila, I'm not allowed to be Mashana. I'm not permitted to change the formula. I can't just decide, you know, I think it'd be nicer to, you know, add a synonym or, you know, swap out some of the phraseology. That's not permitted. L'chadchila, also l'chadchila means you're not allowed to. L'chadchila means before the act, before the fact. Am I allowed to do it? Absolutely not. Forbidden. If I did it, let's say I did, intentionally, unintentionally, I left out a word, slurred a phrase, so I don't always have to repeat a bracha. If I pick up an apple and I say Bori Pri Ha'ilon instead of Bori Pri Ha'etz, probably still Yotze. I'm not allowed to choose to do that. I'm still Yotze. I don't have to do it again. B'di'evet living b'di'avad la'achar ha'masa, once it's already done, post facto, I said such a bracha. If you have all the critical elements there, you know, you messed up the wording, you're still Yotze, but you don't have to repeat it. However, every bracha has certain critical elements that without it, you're not Yotze at all. Number one, you have to have Baruch, you have to have Shem U'Malchus, Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, and then in order to be Yotze. And then beyond that, each bracha has certain critical themes you have to mention. So obviously each bracha has its own themes, and if you didn't just, you know, mess up some of the wording, you actually left out one or more of the critical themes, then you're not Yotze at all. So for instance, the bracha Barech Aleinu in Shemoneh Esrei, during the winter time, one of the critical themes is davening for rain, She'elas Geshamim. So if during the season you're supposed to say the same, Talam Atal Racha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give us rain, you left it out, so then you're not Yotze at all. If I said V'sein Matar, I didn't say V'sein Talam Matar, or I said Horeid aleinu talumat l'racha. So you're mashanim beish tavuch hacham bracha. It was wrong to change the language, but you yotze b'diavad. If you left out the rain entirely, or I said geshem instead of talumat, I'm yotze b'diavad. If I left out rain entirely, I just said the same bracha. I didn't mention talumat or geshem or anything else. Then you're not yotze because you left out what during that season is one of the critical themes. So during the season of Aseres Me'etshuva, one of the critical themes of kedushas Hashem of the third bracha is the fusion of Kedusha and Malchus. And so you have to say HaMelech HaKadosh. If you didn't say HaMelech HaKadosh, you said HaKel HaKadosh, it's a very likely mistake to make next week because we're so used to saying HaKel HaKadosh. Well, B'dili Minei, the Tosis is not this. So then you're going to have to repeat it. Most of the other changes in Shemoneh Esrei are later, are not Midian de Gemara. The Zechreinu L'Chaim and the Micha Mocha, those are Minig HaGaonim. So l'chadchila you're supposed to say it, but if you left it out, it is not ma'akev. It's not part of the takana of Magen Avraham that you must say Zecharein L'chaim. It's not part of the takana of Ata Gibor that you must say.
In the waiting room.
Oh. Coming back. So Zechrein L'chaim and Micha Mocha, Chsov L'chaim, Tovim B'Seif L'chaim, those four are Mitakanas Gonim, so one's supposed to say it, but if you left it out, not Ma'akib, you left out HaMelech HaKadosh, left out melacha kasha is makiv. And the poskim say if you left out hamelach hamishpat, it's assumed that that's not ma'akiv because it's a different phrasing. Malchus appears there anyways. Okay, and the poskim go on to talk about the differences, differences between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur davening, and Shalosh Regalim. You don't talk about Simcha, the language of, we don't talk about Simcha to the same extent, but you don't talk about Aliyah L'Regel. Okay. And we do have the Dvar HaMalkeinu MS, the highlight, the topic, the theme of Malchus at the end of the middle bracha as well. Then, Tavkuf Pei Gimel, the third simon, goes to the night of Ravid, continuing the chronological theme. Now we're up to post-Mairv. What's post-Mairv? So you come home, you make Kiddush, and then what's unique about the Rosh Hashanah Suda are the Simane Rosh Hashanah. And that's the topic of Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, the different foods that we bring out special for the Suda of Leil Rosh Hashanah. So that's based on a Gemara in Krisus and Harius to eat the ones that among Ashkenazim at least are not as common are the ones that appear in the Gemara. The black-eyed peas and leek and so on and so forth. And then the Ramah, so Shulchan Aruch mentions all of that. So black-eyed peas and leek and dates and so on and so forth. They have a tefillah to say together with Yehi Ratzon to go along each one. And the Ramah adds, Yesh Noagin Lechol Tapuach Masok Pidvash. Some have the practice to eat apple sweetened in honey. I've not done the historical research, but the language sounds like a candied apple. I wonder if at some point the minhag was to actually have them pre-honeyed. I don't know. Certainly nowadays our practice is to dip it in honey, as the song says. And he says the Tischadesh Arloid Elenu Shana Masuka. And then Ramo also mentions eating pomegranates. And generally eating good food. Basar Shamein V'chol Mina Masuka. And that last one is certainly a simon that we all can agree to be excited about. And then the Ramah goes on to say in Sif Beis, Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis talks about eating the head of a ram. Quick show of hands. How many people eat Rosh Keves? Rosh Keves. No. Rosh Hadag? That takes a little bit of...
The gummy ones.
And then the Ramah at the end of Sif Beis, end of Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, mentions the minhag of Tashlich to go to the river and to recite the Psukim from Mincha, Mikel Kamocha, and so on and so forth. The question is the following. And he mentions other Psukim that you say. So number one, it's fascinating that in our minds, the apple and honey, that's like the main simon. On the other one, some people eat, you know, the black-eyed peas. We can figure out what the whatever leeks are. Right? So it's fascinating. The apple and honey does not appear in the Gemara. Ramon mentions that's a minhag Ashkenaz. The others, which at least Ashkenazim seem more obscure and more esoteric, the ones that actually appear in the Gemara. So the Vilna Gaon has a very fascinating explanation. He seems to be bothered by the following question, which if you actually think about the minhag of apple and honey analytically, what if you think about Zalamdin again, something we've been thinking about for so long, but what actually bothered, what good kasha could you ask about apple and honey? You're thinking about it afresh. What's shver? We have apples during the year, good. You're onto something, say more, say better, keep going. What's necessary for this minhag, yeah? Why the apple? I understand the honey. Sweet. But why the apple? Whatever, dip something in honey. Many of us at the price dip the challah in honey also. What's the yichus of the apple? Honey. I get the honey. Why the apple? So Vilna Gaon, so it happens to be apples are in season now. Some members of my family went apple picking yesterday. And this is the season when apples are ready to pick in many climates. Vilna Gaon says there's something far more profound at play as well. The Vilna Gaon, very, very brief line in the Be'er HaGra. The Vilna Gaon's only say for the Vilna Gaon himself wrote outside of Kabbalah is his Be'er on Shulchan Aruch, the Be'er HaGra. The Be'er HaGra here in Tav Kof Pei Gimel is a brief and very, very, he tends to be very concise in the way he writes. You have to read carefully and think about it carefully. He says that it's a remez to the bracha. It says, Yaakov Avinu comes in to get the bracha from Yitzchak. And what does Yitzchak say? Re'ei re'ech b'ni k'rech ha'sodeh she'berach ha'ashem. Yitzchak says, wow, you walked in with a smell of the field blessed by Ribbono Shel Olam, which usually assumes a reference to Gan Eden. So the Vilna Gaon references a Kabbalistic concept, which will be familiar to those who say Askinu Sudasa, the Chakal Tapuchin Kadishin, which literally means the orchard of the holy apple trees. What it means, I don't know, not 40 years old yet. I am, but not Kabbalistically 40 years old yet. So, I can't tell you exactly what it means. I don't know myself. But the Vilna Gaon says apple orchards are a metaphor for whatever that Kabbalah concept means. And it's that concept that Al-Pi Kabbalah Yitzchak was mentioning when Yaakov came in, that he was sensing, Yitzchak was sensing this concept of the Chakal Tapuch and Kadisha. That's what Yaakovinu came in with. And he says, and the Vilna Gaon ends with the Haya Barosh Hashanah Kayadua. As we know, like everybody knows it was on Rosh Hashanah. So one of the Perushim they have in the back of the Smash over there, one of the someone recently who wrote a long, long Perush on the Be'er HaGron Shulchan Aruch. So he quotes as a big Machlekes Midrashim, when did the Birchas Yitzchak to Yaakov happen? But there are some, the different opinions in the Medrash. There's a Pesach time, this time of year, that time of year. But there is one opinion, actually not one of the most popular opinions, not one of the most prominent opinions. There is an opinion that the bracha happened on Rosh Hashanah. The Nagon appears to understand that's the dominant opinion, and that the minig of Tapuach B'dvash is meant to reference that bracha. That's fascinating. You look and say, again, a five-year-old's understanding of the apple and honey is a five-year-old's understanding. But there's more than the five-year-old can understand. So when you're ready to open a Be'er HaGra, all of a sudden the apple and honey is a reference to the bracha of Yitzchak to Yaakov, and the bracha of Yitzchak to Yaakov had a lot to do with Bechiras Yisrael. So this is the formation of Am Yisrael, and this is part of the identification of Am Yisrael as a unique nation with a unique destiny and unique resources to fulfill that destiny. So that's Rosh Hashanah B'chalal Hayom Haras Olam is the beginning of humanity. It's the beginning of humanity, morally speaking. The Marishan is infused with the Neshama. The first Mitzvah, the first Nisayin, the first Chet. It's all happening on Rosh Hashanah. So apparently Be'er HaGra points out, and at the table, you come to the Suda, and the first thing you eat, Kim'at, reminds you that Rosh Hashanah is not only the genesis of the universe and the genesis of mankind, in universal terms, there's also, much more particularistically, it's the part of the genesis of Am Yisrael is Rosh Hashanah. Now, so that's fascinating. That's already, wow, beautiful. I'll leave you with a question, which we're going to have to pick up with next time. This is so beautiful. You have a whole slew of, again, for Ashkenazim at least, the esoteric, the remote out there simanim that the Gemara talks about, the black eyed peas and the leek and the chulu b'chulu. And then we have the Ashkenazi practice, the apple and honey, the Be'er HaGra, the Chakal Tapuch and Hadishin, the Bracha Yitzchak Yaakov. Beautiful, gorgeous, tashlich, very nice. But the whole Simon Tavkov Pei Gimel, I'll leave you with Akasha, the whole Simon Tavkov Pei Gimel, it's very beautiful, but the Chayr is against the Pasuk in the Chumash. Because the Pasuk in Parashat Shoftim, we learned a few weeks ago, tells it has a long list of occult practices, magical heebie-jeebie practices that are forbidden for Jews to engage in. And one of them is Lo Se Nachashu. And the Jew is not allowed, appears more than once in Chumash. Nachash is superstition. The Jew is not allowed to act in a superstitious way. That's a question that some of the Sfarim raise. Well, wait, I'm going to eat leek, and I'm going to eat black-eyed peas so that life will turn out better this coming year? I'm going to eat apple and honey so that I'll have a sweeter year? Why is that not magical superstition? Why is that not magical superstition? So to figure that out, there are very good answers to that question. To figure that out, we'll need a couple of minutes. Mirchem, next time we sit down to talk about Yoni Rosh Hashanah later this week, we'll take a step back and look at the sugya of Nichush in general. There's a very intriguing and surprising Gemara in the seventh parak of Chulin. I don't know if you saw this last year in Leah Masechus Chulin. Gemara talks about Eliezer as being the exemplar, the paradigm of superstition. Tosis says, what do you mean? Wasn't he a big tzaddik? Yonasan, David Amal's friend, Shaul's son, one of the great tzaddikim of Sefer Shmuel. The Gemara says, he's the paradigm of Nachash, a strange Gemara. The Tosis has an important solution. They were tzaddikim, they were not doing that there, but there is something they teach us about the definition of superstition. We'll take a look at that Mirchem next time, and that will give us insight. That will give us insight as well into, number one, why these simanim are mutter. And by learning, understanding why these simanim are mutter, we'll have a better insight into what these simanim, how they work, and what they're meant to accomplish. And practically speaking, how to do them right, we'll pick up with that in Mirchem next time. Thank you.